for tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.
This is the Sunday afternoon service of June the 30th, 1996. Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jim and Mildred Coffey of Millington, Tennessee are the ministers of the afternoon.
We need their help and your help, and we appreciate it. Brother Jim.
You know, it's just like coming home to come over here. This is the family. This is our family. Now, I have a family. I have four children. They're scattered. I don't get to see them very often. But, you know, God's people are your family. And we come in here and we feel so much at home. Oh, there's new faces here every time we come. But they're still part of the family. We feel at home when we come in here. And it's a joy to come in. We simply come to do God's bidding. I don't apologize for getting up here trying to sing. The Lord said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And I have joy in my Lord. I enjoy salvation. I enjoy being a Christian. And I enjoy coming together in a group of the family and just being a blessing and being blessed. You're a blessing to us as we come. Camp's known as a deliverance camp. We are deliverance teachers. Our church is a church of deliverance. This is our main theme. You mean you have a theme in your church? Well, it's for this purpose. You can't get deliverance on every street corner. You can't go in any church and say, I have this demon that's harassing me. Would you set me free? If you do that in most churches, you will go out on your ear, you know. Christians can't have demons. But let me ask you, can a demon have a Christian? You see, there is so much denominational and early teaching that we received that got into our spirit that we overlook what the Bible says many times. I want to talk to you today about what the Word says about demons. I'm not going to, can't cover it all. There's no way you could cover it all. Even in, probably in this whole camp, the one session every day for all the days we have. But this is a book of deliverance in case you don't know it. It's warfare. This is warfare. It's love. It's also love, but it's a book of war. So we're going to talk about deliverance, down to the very basis of deliverance is what I want to share with you. How many people want deliverance? Let me see your hands. How many want deliverance? Well, let me ask you this. What do you want deliverance for? What do you want? Just why do you want deliverance? Don't answer. Don't answer me. Don't answer me. There's your answer. There's your answer right there. If you came for any other reason to get deliverance other than to have more of Jesus and in you and to be able to serve Him better, you're not going to get undeliverance. He's not going to set you free. I can just guarantee you. Or you'll get some surface things off, but no. But you know, the ministry that we do, God doesn't send any what we call furballs to us. Now, furball is a little tiny demon that harasses you with anger, you know, this type of thing. The symptoms of what's down under there, that's the furballs. When you get a hold of one of those monsters, you know it. When that thing roars back at you, who do you think you are? I'm not coming out of here. Who do you think you are trying to move me? Not in your lifetime will you see me come out. And we have them roar at us like that. And we laugh in their face and say, well, let's stand up under the judgment of God. And they're very silent. And what I'm telling you is that we We do one-on-one deliverance in our church, and we get a hold of some things that are harassing people that are that have changed their lives to where they don't really live any longer, and they are at the lowest point in their life when they come to and say, "Please help me, please help me." We've got people in our church that are so oppressed with demons that I've got a girl right now that loses hours of a day and doesn't know what happened to it because the demon steals it from her. And she goes about her normal business. It's not that she passes out. She does everything she's supposed to do. But then she looks back at the date and said, "What happened between 12 and 4 o'clock today? I don't remember any of it." And then there's another one, the demon's always talking to her. Uses profanity, filthy language. And it's always constant in her ear. Well, it's not so constant anymore. It was one time, but it's not constant anymore. Praise God, He's doing a work. I want to tell you that God is real. This is a miracle. I've got scripture for this. I don't preach without scripture. When you see deliverance, it is a miracle of God. That's what He said. It's in the Word. It's a miracle. So, I'll give you that a little later, but I want you to know that it is a miracle. How do you know demons come out? Well, I don't see demons. Do you see demons? No, I don't see demons. I don't see spirit. I'll put it this way. I don't see spirit. Well, demons are an evil spirit. And I don't see it. But the word spirit in the Greek is pneuma. P-N-E-U-M-A. Pneuma. And it means spirit. But it also means wind. It means breath. And you will see when you start calling demons out, they manifest themselves coming out usually through the mouth, through the nose. I've heard tell of them that came out through the eyes and ears. I've never seen that. But I've heard tell that people said they got deliverance that way. But you will see it usually in air and breath in this type of manner of heavy breathing, coughing, spitting, throwing up. Yes, even that. That's why you had a garbage can over here today. And this is the manifestation of a spirit coming out. Let's look at some scripture. How do you get them out? Well, let's see what Jesus did in, where is it? Matthew 8. Verse 16. And when evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with what? His word. His word. Jesus did it with his word. Well, we have to do it the same way, with words. You can't reach in and grab a hold of a spirit. You'd like to many times. They harass people and they harass you, and they're so near to the surface sometimes you just feel like you just like to get a hold of that thing and drag it out. It has caused you so many problems that it tormented the person so long. But you can't do that. So you use the Word of God. Yes. And the more you use it, the more you harass that spirit. You just take the Word. You've got three things you can use. You've got the Word. You've got the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, and you've got the blood of Jesus. Well, you got the name of Jesus instead of the Holy Spirit, but that's Jesus. You've got the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, and the Word. Put it that way. What else do you need? Isn't that the most powerful thing that you can think of? That is strength and power beyond your wildest imagination. I said something here the other night about when prayers go up. You've no idea how much energy is moving up into heaven when you pray. Words are important. Over in Psalms it says, the words have gone out into the very ends of the earth. When the Lord spoke, those words carried power. Now when we repeat God's word, and we believe that it's going to happen, this power comes forth too. Can you see that? Can you see just repeating God's word? And you cannot please God any better than repeating His word. That's why we sing scripture. We have set scripture to music. Much of that we sang today has been scripture. In case you didn't know it, that was just scripture that was set to music. Somebody came along and took a verse of Scripture, and they put the music to it, and this is what we're saying. These choruses that we sing is the Word of God, and we sing them back to Him. Of course, they're beautiful to us, and we are blessed by them, but it is to the Lord that we sing these words. So, let's go through some Scripture. These are not in any order. The Lord gave me some Scripture about what He's doing in His Word, and I just started putting this together without any thought of really preaching this. This was for me. And when I hope you're blessed with it, as I was blessed. Let's go to Mark 7, verse 25, which is where we'll begin. It says, "For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord. Yet the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying, Go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter." Deliverance belongs to believers. It was for believers. He told her, it is the children's bread. It was not for unbelievers. That's why we're careful when we start to minister deliverance to someone. Are you a believer? Have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord? There's a reason for this. I didn't even write the Scripture down, but you know it. Pardon. I'll start by saying that an unbeliever has no protection. There's no way to keep that demon out. He doesn't have the Word in him. He's not covered by the blood of Jesus. So therefore, he has no way to keep that demon from coming back and attacking him. The Scripture says that when a demon has gone out of a house, it starts first with a house, that he goes through dry places. And finding no rest, he comes back and he finds his house swept and garnished, which means it was kind of cleaned up to look good, but nothing was replaced in it. Nothing was put in place of the demon that came out. So he goes forth and he brings back seven more demons worse than himself. And the last state, and then it starts, the last state of that man is worse than the first. So it is important that we know that the person is saved before we begin. Otherwise, we're not doing them any favor. In fact, we're doing harm to an unsaved person to try to cast a demon out of them. Well, I don't cast demons out. You know that? We have a church of deliverance, but I don't cast demons out. The Lord casts demons out. He uses me to speak the Word. He uses Mildred and the other people in our church to speak the Word, but it is Jesus who is the deliverer. And we are just simply being obedient to the Word of God to go ahead and to call those things and to speak this Word so that God can get His work done. Now, in chapter 9 of Mark, while we're here, in verse 23, Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." And straightway the father of the child cried out and said it with tears, "Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief." Somebody used this Scripture the other night. I'm glad they did, because all of us have a certain amount of unbelief in us. We have not yet attained that place that God wants us to walk in. We hadn't arrived yet. So we need to have this unbelief removed from us. But you see, what I want to tell you about this Scripture, that God moves by faith. God moves by your believing. Now, if you've come here seeking deliverance today, you need to prepare for it before you come in. This is the way you really get deliverance, is you prepare before you come in for deliverance. You make up your mind that I want to be set free, and you don't do it cafeteria style. George named it this morning, and I think Tommy said something about it. It's been spoken before that you don't pick and choose. You don't decide, I want to get rid of this, but I want to hold on to this. You can't do that. If you leave part of the devil in you, don't you know he's going to contaminate everything there? What you do is you come and say, "Lord, if it's in there, I want to be cleansed. Take it out. Set me free from everything that is not of you, Lord." and we do not pick and choose. I'm not going to hold on to my cigarettes. Have the brother today when we were ministering to down here. I don't see him right at the moment. I thought he was here. Anyhow, when we ministered deliverance down here, he got his deliverance, and he says, might as well get it all. Here, take this. And he just reached in one pocket and got a pack of cigarettes, and reached in the other pocket and got a pack of cigarettes, and threw them both in the garbage can. That's the way to do it. Get set free from it all. Now, just throwing them down is not being set free. I know the decision was there, but we prayed for him. I turned around and prayed for him for that addiction and bound that addiction that was in him so that it wouldn't come back. And cast it out. I called it out of him so that it wouldn't come back. You see, while you're on smoking, I'll tell you, it's easy to quit smoking. I can prove it. I used to quit every 2 weeks. I quit every 2 weeks. Well, I'll tell you how I got rid of it. I tried and tried for a year or two, about 2 years, I guess. And I'd throw away a pack of cigarettes. I'd cut them in two with a pair of scissors. I was an upholsterer. And I'd clip them in two and drop them in the, hold them over the garbage can and let them fall in. And 2 hours later, I'd go back and smoke half cigarettes. And I tried that, and finally, one day I said, Lord, you know my heart. You know I want to quit. If you don't take these things away from me, I'm going to smoke them. And I'm not going to cut up another pair. I'm not going to another pack of cigarettes, or I'm not going to destroy another pack. I'm going to take this pack, and I'm going to put them right here in front of me on the shelf where I sit and sew. And if you don't remove the desire from me, I'm going to smoke those cigarettes. You know, I had never had another desire for a cigarette, not since then. That was about 20 years ago. And I haven't had another desire. God can do it. I'm telling you, God, it's not me. I didn't do it. I tried. You see how I failed? I failed for 2 years, but God took it out just like that. I mean, just in a flash, he took that desire, the addiction. You know, the next day you could blow smoke in my face and it didn't bother me a bit. I didn't have even the slightest desire for a cigarette. Now, that's how God works in deliverance. When you're set free, you're free. Those things don't bother you anymore. Amen? So, this is what we want. We want to be set free from the things that harass us. In verse 29 of that same chapter of Mark, it says, and Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you that there is no man that has left house or brother or sister, father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake, but for the gospel, that he shall receive a hundredfold. Now, in this time, wrong chapter. I knew that didn't sound right. 29. And he said unto them, this kind cometh forth not by nothing but prayer and fasting. I want you to know that there are certain type of demons or certain demons that become entrenched in people that surround themselves with enough demons that they are protected inside a person. You remember when Jesus met the man at Gadara? And he said, what's your name? What did he answer? Legion. What's a legion? A Roman legion in that day was 6,000. Well, from 4,000 to 6,000. And demons do the same thing. They gain strength by having lesser demons under them to protect, and they rule and reign in a body, in your body and in my body. And when they gain enough strength, they are hard to get out. Jesus recognized this and said, this kind comes out by nothing but prayer and fasting. And there's some that you're going to have to fast. And I'm not going to tell you how long to fast, but that's something that the Lord has to deal with each individual about whether you... He didn't say if you fast, he said when you fast. So all of us should be fasting to start with. And when we fast, if we fast for a specific reason, and when we fast for deliverance, we get our eyes set on God and we deem and determine that we're going to be set free. And that is our purpose. And when we do this, he says, then with prayer and fasting, this kind can come out. But they're just not going to be an ordinary... You know the story why the man said, I asked your disciples to pray for my son, and they couldn't do anything for him. You ever prayed for anybody and nothing happened? You ever called a demon out and nothing happened? Let me stop right there, or let me take a tangent there. Demons are not going to run just because you holler boo at them or that you holler God at them. I cannot make a demon come out of a person that doesn't want to get rid of it. What we say is, you won't be set free from your friends. They're your friend if you hold on to them and you want them to stay. And you will not be set free if you don't want to be set free. And if you have not really and truly made up your mind to get rid of it, even though you don't really care for it, you still won't be set free. Now, I don't know how many of you really have serious problems here before me today that you really want to be set free from. But if you are sincere in your heart, you make up your mind, you believe that God is going to set you free, you don't have to go to any certain person to do it. It's just like prayer. I know people that have been to every prayer line in the country trying to get some help. Why? Because they thought this one had the power. Oh, that one had the power. We used to watch people come to full gospel. And they would be in the same prayer line every month. When they called for a prayer line, this same people would show up. And when they walked away, you'd look at their face and you'd say, well, you could see it in their face. Well, this one didn't have it. That person just didn't have the power. No, that wasn't what was wrong. They didn't trust in the one who's going to set them free or one who's going to deliver what they've asked for. They didn't trust in him. They trusted in that man to do what they wanted done. They're lazy. And people are basically lazy. And they want somebody else to do all their work for them, including their worship of the Lord. But it won't work that way. So God has an order to things, and if we get out of that order, these things that we desire won't work. And when we are dead to the things of the world, these other things aren't going to bother us anyhow. I say it this way. You can spit in the dead man's face and he won't do a thing. And if you're dead to the things of this world, I don't care what comes up. It's not going to harass you. You just, as George said this morning, he said, you're just going ahead and praise the Lord. Because the Lord knew about what was going to happen. He wasn't surprised. When we ministered deliverance, he said something else this morning. Be honest about it. You've got to be honest. You're not going to tell us anything that probably we hadn't heard before. We've heard just about every kind of a story you can think of. And when they come to us, you know where they go? Right over in a garbage can. We don't carry them around with us. We don't want them. We don't want any part of that. It doesn't mean a thing to us. We've heard it all. You're not going to shock us. God already knows about it. So you need to get honest and say, look, I have this problem. This is the problem, or at least this is the symptom in my life that I know about. Can you do something to help me? And then when we get honest, God will move in your behalf. But we have to be honest with ourselves and with God about deliverance. Turn to Exodus 23, verse 28. He said, I'll send hornets before you to drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, the Hittite, from before thee, and I will drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. But little and little, or by little and little, I will drive them out from before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land. I see a couple things in here that are pertinent to deliverance. When he says land, he's talking about this land here, that land right out there. He's not talking about, well, he also spoke of the land they were going into, but for us in this day and time, he had written this for our admonition and was speaking of this land. And he says, I'm not going to drive all those things out at once because you do not have knowledge how to hold them out, how to keep your deliverance. And by little and little, I won't drive them out in a year, he said. But by little and little will I drive them out. And when people come to us, they get some deliverance one night, and then a week later they get come back and they get more, and then a week later they get more. I have a girl, well, people in our church are several. I've had one we've been ministering to for 8 years. I have another we've ministered to for 9 years now. That's not all the time. I mean, that's off and on. She's had much deliverance. Her testimony is that if I hadn't got deliverance, I'd be dead today. And I know it. She was addicted to drugs, and Lord knows how many other demons. I can't even remember the demons. My wife probably could tell you a number of them that's been cast out of her, but I can't even remember. There's just been so many of them that have gone from this girl. And we understand why, because we dug into her life and found the reason for these things being there and how they were put in to this person. And there was witchcraft and Satanism. She was dedicated to the devil when she was 4 years old. Is there any wonder that there were demons in the girl? And she was open to everything that came along. Any demon that came down the road, she was open to it. Until she started getting free. And she has been set free from so much. And even her countenance changes. I have seen her when we were ministered to her. Even her chin was pointed like the proverbial witch. You know what a picture we've made of a witch, what it looks like with a tall hat and the long chin. Well, I have seen her in deliverance when that chin would come out so thin and long, if she was a different person altogether. But when she was set free, back normal. Did you know that there are changes even in the body when you're set free from the enemy? He even does things in the construction of your body, and when people are set free, that it makes a difference. We have worked the long periods of time on some of these, but I find that it is knowledge, when they receive knowledge, to really want to be set free and to know the Word of God, that's when God moves and sets them free. So, I got the second half coming in here.
I just want to say something when he's talking about this girl. When we started ministering to her, she was in such a shape. We couldn't understand why it took so long to get different things out of her. But she had her personality, the real her, was arrested. Her development was. And God showed me that he literally had to grow her up. And he grew up in the Word. And it's been just really something. Had he delivered her totally of the things that were bothering her when we started ministering to her, there wasn't enough of her there to take care of it at all. We also learned in doing this during this time that her soul had to be called back. God delivered her from lupus. He healed her from lupus. He healed her from heart problems through deliverance. And as we ministered to her, continually ministered, she began to get her soul back. And little by little, it came back. And when he was talking about getting people free and people want to be free, I know some of y'all bored, sounds like you're bored, but I love deliverance and I love to tell people. Because God, we're coming into a time when deliverance is so necessary for God's people to walk in the kingdom. And this girl that I've ministered to her, I've become a second mother to her. Her mother died several years ago. And I have seen her change from a drug addict and all kinds of things. She's a nurse and walk in the Word. And right now she's one of the best deliverance workers we've got. And she just loves the Lord. And you know, this is what it's all about. Building, but her, the real her had to be built. It's hard to explain it to you, but God began to grow her up from that little four-year-old girl where this all began. The real her began to come forth. And that's why when Jim said she looks different, she is totally different.
I said it was a miracle. Deliverance is a miracle. But let me tell you, it's not that we are searching for miracles. Do you know that we are in the last days? Someone asked Doc why we said we're in the last days. And he said, because the Word says it. And Tommy preached and had many scriptures on the last days. That he brought up. And in that last day, especially in the trumpets, in that last day he was talking about. So we are in that time. Now, what's the purpose of all of this? If we are not warriors and learn how to fight, we're going to fall. You're not going to ever become an overcomer. When it talks of overcomers, it means that we overcome the devil in here. And until we learn how to overcome the devil in me, we will never be able to stand before God. God cannot look at any sin. The scriptures tell us that he is a righteous God. He doesn't look at the sin. I believe that that in itself tells us we need to clean our lives up. If we're going to stand before the Most High God, we need to clean up. Deliverance is the cleanup way that we come right before God. Now, if we want God to work through us so that we can become warriors, we're going to have to learn something about deliverance. We're going to have to learn how to fight the enemy, because this is the one that's against all of God's rules, His law, His word, all that God stands for. Yes, Lord, thank you. And we're going to have to be the ones to combat it. Jesus is already seated on the right hand of the Father. Surely He's coming back, but He's seated now. We are the workers. We're His hands. We are His feet. The Lord just reminded me, do you believe in witches? Does anybody here believe in witches? I'll get two hands over here. We received a witch in our church. We had a witch in the church. Well, we've had several, but this one I'm thinking about. I thank Glenn for that. Oh, absolutely. This girl was out of a family, whole family, and her father was a head honcho, whatever he was. What is it, Bill? What was he? High priest of South Oklahoma and North Texas. And they're territorial. They have territory. There's one here in Hot Springs, in case you don't know it. There is one here. And this girl, her claim when she came to us was that her testimony was that she was driving down the street listening to the radio, and she heard Don Larson. Anybody know who Don Larson is? He's a Bob, I beg pardon, Bob Larson. I know a Don, too. Bob Larson is the deliverance worker over, I believe, is in Denver. I don't know where he's headquartered. But anyhow, she heard him on the radio, and they gave a local number, and she called a local number, which was a secretary in a church, and she led her to the Lord. But the witch's family got after her, and so they had to hide her out, and they moved her here, and they moved her there, all around Dallas. This was in Dallas, Texas. And they got so close to her. In fact, they almost caught her a time or two. So they moved her out of the country into Hot Springs. Well, they approached Glenn to bring her out here. Well, Glenn doesn't keep people out here. So Glenn called me because he knew we were associated with a mission in the city of Memphis where we preach, or did at that time we preached. And they took people in. And I said, well, yes, I'll see if I can handle it. And I did. And they said, we'll take her. No one thinking that we had a witch that had been converted to Christianity. So they took her, and she avoided us like the plague when she first came in for 2 weeks. And then she left. She left the mission after a period of time. She showed up at my house. Nobody knows how she got my address, because I live 25 miles from that mission, out in the county, on a highway out in the county. But she showed up at my house. Then she went to the church with us, saved. And she had this good testimony. But then all of a sudden the family came after her, and they would run her off. They caught her. Well, I found out later what really happened was that on Father's Day that year, she stole the Father's Day present from me, and they caught her. That's what happened, and they carried her to court. And her father, her real father, came over to get her out and got her out. And I'm sure the judge was a part of the whole group that got her out of that thing. I'm not fooled in that part either. But at the time I was very much fooled. We accepted her in, finally rented a trailer and put her in. We had to lease a trailer for 3 months. She polluted the whole church. And after less than a week in the trailer, ladies went down to the trailer one day and found her in bed with another witch that we knew was a witch. So they threw them out. And we were cursed. We were cursed in the worst sort of way. And we lost a great number of our people in the congregation. And we're still down to a very small number in my church. As a result of all this, I feel like it was a definite result of all of this. I'm telling you this to tell you that when you have knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and of Satan and how to rid him from God's people, Satan attacks you. And he's coming after the one that has some kind of a knowledge. Of course, he'll attack everybody that makes a step for the Lord. But for those in authority or any type of authority, and we're not authority people, but we pastor a church of deliverance, and he has really made a run at us. When he found out he couldn't get to us, he's hit at our children, and they've had all kinds of problems. Do you know that it's just an opportunity for God to work when these things happen to you? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of the devil. I've got some scripture here. Let me go on with some scripture before time runs out completely on us today. I'll try to get down to it. In Luke 10:17, it says, "And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name." The Lord had sent out the people, the 70 people, two by two. And they came back and said, "It's your name. It's your name." But you see, it's not just throwing out the name of Jesus. Anybody can throw out the name of Jesus. You've got to know the authority of Jesus. You've got to know what he stands for, what he is, and believe in him before this name works for you. And these people knew him. They had walked with him. They were in his company. They knew Jesus. And so they used that name, and the devils were subject to them, which means they were obedient to those 70 as they returned. So we have that name there that we can use. Verse 19, Luke 10:19, 18, I'll go and finish this total scripture. "And he said unto them, Behold, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all of the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." And I read this to say, you don't have to have any fear when you minister deliverance. Do you know that we have children in our church that come into our church? They're not harmed in any manner by demons. Man, I have a granddaughter. When she was 7 years old, there was a man in our church at that time, back then, he was probably 80 years old. His wife was having all kinds of problems. My 7-year-old granddaughter sat her, said, "You want deliverance?" She said, "Yes." She said, "Sit down." And she pulled a chair up in front of her, and she started calling that demon off of that probably 70-plus-year-old woman, and that thing manifested and came out. A 7-year-old child. And there were two of them. One's younger than that. We were ministering to their mother. My wife ministering to her, and she really manifested. And we say when we minister on the floor, because they're going to get up and try to knock you down or run, and we have to put them down on the floor and hold them there. And then until we get authority over them, and then we can turn them loose. But anyhow, this her mother was manifested and was thrashing around, and this little girl comes up and gets a hold of her head with the hands on either side and says, "You come out of her. You let my mama go. You turn my mama loose, devil." And she goes right after that thing just as any adult would. So I'm saying this to let you know that even any type of believer can cast out a demon. Age has nothing to do with it. And those people 80 years old can do it. I've got that man in my church yet. His wife is dead. This old elderly man, he's 85 plus. He's only going on 86 now. He believes in deliverance more than anybody in the church. He ministers it and receives deliverance all the time. And he really believes it. So if there's no age barrier here in deliverance. Acts 5. To Jerusalem, bringing sick folk and them that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Well, you know who was doing the healing? It was the disciples. This is Acts. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father now. So over in Acts, I want you to see not only that the disciples were doing it, but what were they doing? Healing. And I want you to know that people get healed through deliverance. I'll show you another scripture in just a moment, but I want to press on you. The people we've been talking about in our church, I've seen them come and go in our church. The lady we were both talking about received so much deliverance. I remember a time when she brought her daughter, who now has a daughter, now, but when she was a very small child, she brought her into the church wrapped in a blanket, so sick she couldn't raise her head. one Sunday morning, and just before services, she came in and said, I've just got to have some help. I've done everything we can. We've given her all kinds of medicine. She has a high fever, and she's still sick. We started praying for her and ministering deliverance. In 10 minutes' time, we kind of wish we hadn't. She was up all over the church running around everywhere and everybody, which was facetious. But, I mean, I want to show you just that quick. The Lord set that child free. I've seen that repeated over and over again. It's not just one instance that this happens where we have ministered deliverance for people that were sick. And if I have anything hit me at any time, I immediately go into warfare. My wife goes into warfare immediately the minute anything hits her. Any type of sickness that tries to come upon us. This is how we do it. And to show you how good it works, the last time she was at the doctor was, I think, in 1972. I think was the last time that she went to the doctor. And I've been a time or two since then. I had a kidney stone one time, and I cut two fingers off one time. So they carried me to the doctor from the plant one time or two. So, but we believe in ministering deliverance. And if something comes after, do you have headaches? The girl we're talking about, I remember the time that her husband brought her into our house on Saturday morning. She has this terrific headache. She's had it since yesterday. Normally it takes going to the doctor and him knocking her out, and she's out for 3 days before she gets over a headache. That type, it was migraine headache. I thought it was migraine, but I wasn't sure. And it took 3 days. Well, it took us almost 3 hours, I guess. Ministering deliverance. You know, that girl has never had another migraine headache, and that was when that baby was that girl that has the baby was a little child when that happened. That was at least 15 years ago, and she's never had another migraine headache. And my God did that. Do you realize what an awesome God we serve? He loves you, and He wants the very best for you. He wants you free. He wants you cleaned up. So that you can walk and he can move in the earth in this body and have His way in His being in the earth. This is how He does it. He moves in you. But He has to have a vessel He can move in. We have to have the Word in us. And we need all of the Word. You know, I was in the denominational church up until, 79, and I'm 72 years old, and I was there till I was 79, and until 1979. I never remember any preacher ever reading a scripture that had deliverance in it. They omitted them, they walked around them, they used other scriptures, they used salvation all of the time. And we were taught salvation on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And we got another dose of it again the next Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. Over and over again, salvation. But we never heard of deliverance. And this was one third of Jesus' ministry. Healing was a third of Jesus' ministry. And salvation was the balance of Jesus' ministry. Of course, He did a lot of other things along with this. But that was His ministry. And His purpose for coming was what? To undo the works of the devil. So we have to prepare ourselves that we may really get in this business of doing the work of Jesus. In the 8th chapter of Acts, verse 7, speaking of healing, back up to 6, and it says, the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles that he did, for unclean spirits crying with loud voices came out of many that were possessed with him, and many taken with palsies, and they that were lame were healed. Can you imagine a lame person being healed? A lame person. Do you believe God's going to start restoring limbs that were, some are missing? Completely missing, that God is going to restore them. Get your mindset on that my God can do anything. That's not impossible for my God. He made this mighty. I never really thought about it the way George began to speak on it today about what a miracle this body is, how it takes the food and breaks it all down to work all over this body, and every portion of that, the power in that food is distributed where it's needed in the body. What about the breath that you breathe? How it is put into the lungs, that goes into the blood, that travels through the body? You any idea how many miles of veins is in the body? You ever thought about it? How the blood is distributed all over this thing? And the minute little tiny veins that run all through this body, there are miles of. How many of you know, Bill? No, well, I've read somewhere it was. Maybe some of you know. But it's miles of veins that are in one body. And all of it has a source of the same blood that has this wonderful oxygen in it that keeps this body alive. And of course, it's Jesus. It's Jesus that does all this. God made it, but Jesus sees to the working of it.
Yes, hallelujah.
So I just stand in amazement. In Acts 10, now here's the one, 10, verse 38. And this is the one that I use to show people that Jesus is in deliverance, there is healing. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all of those that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Did you hear what I said? Healing those that were oppressed of the devil. That means the oppression of the devil brings sickness. Oppression of the devil causes sickness. And God and Jesus went about healing those, and Jesus is the healer, and that is how we will be healed. And when we cast those demons out of our body, for that specific, and you have to be specific about what you're going after. We've been chided and rebuked by demons. Well, what do you want? You get two people calling a demon out, and one calls one thing and one another, and you say, well, what do you want? Which one? Make up your mind. And, of course, he's chiding at us, and he's not that he's ready to come out, but he's just trying to get our mind off of working against setting people free. And he'll do anything, and don't be surprised at the way demons react. Now, sometimes, and I don't know, not too many times in mass deliverance, but it has happened numbers of times, they get noisy. And when we start calling demons out of people, if they get noisy, don't be upset. They're just trying to get our mind off of what we're doing. They're trying to distract everybody so that somebody will come over and try to comfort that person. And then when they do, man, you've lost him. When somebody comes over and starts to comfort a demon, you've lost him. You can forget that one for a while, and you have to raise him up again. We had a man just this last time we were here. Mildred was ministering to a person, and she sat behind him, and she very quietly called this thing out, because I don't think they were calling demons at that time, but they were just getting ready to, and she began to agitate this demon, and finally this demon and roared very quiet-like, but began to roar. And then he got louder, and someone came over and said, oh, you poor thing. And he was gone just like that. When they gave comfort to it, that thing transferred. Do you know there's such a thing as transference of spirit? Let me switch way over. Did you know that everything God has except salvation, that the devil has made a counterfeit for it? He has. He's made counterfeit for everything. Go with me to Numbers chapter 27, verse 18. Numbers 27, 18. And the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thy hand upon him, and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight. And thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him, that all of the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. Thine honor. Sit, lay thy hand upon him, he said. Yep, transferring that spirit. Your spirit. Transfer it to the spirit of Moses. Let's look at Deuteronomy 34, verse 9. And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses has laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. spirit moved from the same spirit that was in Moses moved over to Joshua. Because Joshua had to lead the people. And the people recognized that that spirit was upon him, that authority was upon him. Now, I just got through telling you that everything God did, Satan counterfeited. Now, he does the same thing. I have seen people lay hands on other people and the spirit was in them transfer right to them. How do you see that? I have seen that person that you were ministering to, all of a sudden, we lose that spirit completely the minute somebody else walked up and laid hands on them. Because that spirit moved over and gave power and authority to the one that was in the one we were ministering to, and it received enough power and authority that he just, what we call, went down. That is, he was no longer in charge and authority in the mind. Where are spirits? Where do they operate? This is the playground, we call it. The playground of the spirits is in the mind. All of it is up in the mind. It starts there. Now, there are infirmity spirits that rest and get into parts of the body that are infirmity spirits that cause sickness and infirmity in the body. But the spirits that we're talking about mainly are those in the mind. We've heard today about how we feel like these thoughts were our own thoughts, and yet they were of something that was put into your mind. Demons cannot read your mind. Did you know that? If demons could read your mind, you would never be able to fight a demon. He would counteract in advance everything you tried to do before you could even speak it, if he could read your mind. You think everything out, or at least you think of it before you do it. Jesus spoke everything into being. He thought it in his mind. He spoke it before it actually happened. And you think it in your mind before you speak it. And if the demon could read your mind, he would counteract everything you did. You would never be able to touch any demon. But demons don't read your mind. Do you know the only time they know what's going on in your body? When you open your mouth. When you start talking, that's when demons find out what's really happening. And our tongue is loose at both ends. It wags all of the time and it tells everything. And it reveals to the demon what's going on all the time. And we just feel so good. And, you know, we're in authority. We're in free. And we're just feeding the demon by our mouth. We get sick the same as other people do. That is, he tries to make us sick. We're not free from the oppression of the devil. Mildred and I fight it, I guess, more than most people do. Simply because we're the ones in authority in the church. God gave Mildred deliverance. He didn't give me deliverance. He gave it to Mildred. I believe in it strongly, and I back her up totally. Jen Glenn said that she was pastor of the church. I'm pastor of the church. She is the minister of deliverance in the church. But I believe in it and what the Lord is doing in deliverance and how he's fed her and given her knowledge in deliverance and what he's given unto me. We believe it very strongly because we've seen it operate. God loves his people again. He wants you cleaned up. He's got to have a vessel in this earth. Otherwise, we are totally going to lose the battle of all the people if we didn't. But praise God, he's always got the remnant. His promise is we have a remnant. Now, we are possibly are the remnant right here today. We are the ones that's going to learn how to fight. We're the ones that are going to do battle. We're not going to let Satan ride over us and overcome us. Do you really want to be an overcomer? Glenn has a teaching on the overcomer. I love to hear Glenn teach that. There are 8 overcomers in Revelation. And it's not something that we just make a decision, I'm going to be an overcomer. You're going to have to do something. We're going to have to walk in this word, believe it in our heart very strongly, and walk in it before this thing will begin to act in our lives. There's many more that I'd like to give. I have 2 pages of stuff here that I've only touched maybe 6 or 8 scriptures, but I've got plenty of it, and I don't want to go too long, but I want 1 or 2 more. I want to give you Matthew 6:14 before I go any further, though, because this is so important in deliverance. 13 says, ending the model prayer, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And then the negative side, but if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, if you don't forgive people, and we have so many confrontations in our life, we have people that come against us constantly. Some of them have legitimate reasons. Many have no reason other than their own in their own mind. But we cannot hold grudges. For this scripture right here tells us that we can't hold unforgiveness regardless of what they do. He went on to say later on, you know, that if you have two cloaks, if you demand one of them, give it to them. If he commands you to walk a mile with him, walk two. And we don't hold unforgiveness because somebody asks us to walk a mile with him. Or if they ask for one of our coats. And if they want to borrow from us. I'd like to get back some of that that's been borrowed from me. But praise God, we give it gladly. And my God supplies my need, so... Which brings another thought. If you want to see God move in your life, you get into this Word and you start ministering in the Word. I do it in deliverance. However you God leads you to do it, you do it however He shows you how to do it, and you will see God move greatly in your life. Glenn said that, not this time, the last time I was here, I remembered him saying that I was an official in the company that built bags. I'm not an official. I'm an employee of that company. I run a section of it. I'm a supervisor in the company. And I own a little tiny piece of stock in the company, too, but which doesn't amount to anything. But, you know, I say this to back down that God has really blessed me in so many different ways that you just can't count the ways. And one of them is financially. And the only thing that I see a need for money of is to give into God's service. And because of that, God begins to bless. And I'm not lifting myself up. This has nothing to do with that. I want you to know that God will use you when you have a free giving heart. And I say this so that you can get in on the blessing. And as we began to give, go back years ago when it all got started. There's a man came out of Rhema College back to Memphis. He was from Memphis. Came back to start a church. And he's holding prayer meetings in his house. And he said, I want to take an offering. I want to start a church. And we were there. We had heard about him. We had met in another prayer meeting with him. And we liked him. And God spoke to us. And when he asked for money, we were struggling. And I mean, when I say struggling, I mean we were struggling. I was trying to pay bills and never having enough to pay bills. I was going broke in a hurry is what it amounted to. But God spoke to us in that house that night and said, give to his ministry. And Mildred, he spoke to Mildred at the same time. And I looked at Mildred and she looked at me and said, how much? Neither one of us would say. And finally we broke down and said, well, he said to give $100. Well, I owed $2,000 right at the moment. Couldn't pay it. And he said, give $100. And I said, my goodness, I don't have $100. Mildred said, we got two of your part-time work. I taught adult education at night. And I had two checks that amounted to $100, $102 or so at home in the house, not in the bank. And this was on a Friday night. So we gave $100, wrote a check for it, and we beat it to the bank on Monday morning with those two checks to pay for it. But when we wrote the check, Mildred and I laid it in our hands, covered it, and claimed a hundredfold return on $100. Passed it out. Forgot it. Very short time after that, I was working for myself at the time as an upholsterer, running an upholstery shop. A very short time after that, I went to work for a company. And I forgot all about that. About 2 years later, over a year later, it hit me the remembrance of it. And I said, Lord, I claimed that, and I know your word is true. I said, I claimed a hundredfold. What's a hundredfold of $100? $10,000. Now, that's not much. This day and time's not much. But At that day and time, it was an awful lot of money, and to receive a $10,000 when you didn't have anything was quite a bit of money. And I said, Lord, I know that your word does not lie, and I wouldn't like to receive that. He said, look at your paycheck. And I said, Lord, I work for that. He said, look at your paycheck stub. I said, I work for that. He said, look at your paycheck stub. And I looked at it. My overtime at that point in the year was $13,000 in overtime above my salary. And he paid me back in overtime. I earned it. Sure, I earned it. I stayed long hours. But I would not have had it had not God given it back to me. God did a miracle in my leg one time, and it changed my life completely. And it ministered into me faith that I could believe my God. Now, we say we all know that we believe God. But can you believe God for miracles to do what is impossible? Now, that gets tough when it's for you. I had a short leg, and he grew it out to the normal size. Now, that's unreal. Can you believe God for something like this? Well, when he did, I wasn't really asking for this or expecting this, but he got my attention in a hurry. My hair stood straight up. I'll have you know, my hair went right straight up like this that night. My eyes got big as saucers, they tell me. I couldn't see my eyes, but my wife looked at me and said, what on earth happened to you? Well, God changed me that night. And within a matter of weeks, we received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and we say we hit the ground running. We haven't stopped yet, and we don't intend to stop. We're bringing forth the Word to as many people as will hear the Word of God. This is what it's all about. This is God wants His people holy and righteous. Not in your righteousness, but in the righteousness of Jesus. And he's given us opportunity to do this. Look at Matthew 10. Here's a good thought. Matthew 10, 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. And I hear the word come back. But he did that for his 12 disciples. What's a disciple? Learner. He's a learner. And if he did it for one, didn't I read where God is no respecter of persons? And if he did it for those 12, if we will commit our lives unto him, don't you know he'll do it for you? And that it is not, for him, it is just a small thing. We said, well, it's impossible, God. You're looking at it from the flesh side. You're not dead yet. God wants you dead. And when you get dead to the things of this world, those things will come in just as freely as the air that you breathe. My God will supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory. And He'll set you free. He will do it. He is my God. He is the author and the ender of all your salvation. Now, I said you needed the Word. Over in the book of Hebrews, he says his word is alive. The word of God is alive and powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. He knows what you're thinking even. My God! And you made this body. And you keep it going. You set this universe in orbit so perfect that we have a temperature from the sun that lets us have seasons for growing and cool seasons to kill the unwanted bugs and animals that we don't need. And he did it so perfectly that it just stays in orbit year after year after year. That's my God. And he sets people free. He sees spirit in people and he takes it out of them. He removes it from them. He loves them that much. Wants them, get some deliverance. I want to give you one more thing. Your number one tool, 16th chapter, Matthew. Matthew 16. It's such a good scripture here. I'm going to read back up and read some. Start at 16. Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Binding and loosing is the greatest tool that you have in deliverance. The names are the greater part. You have the name of Jesus, as I told you, in the Word and the blood. But the tool that we use is binding. We bind the evil spirits. We loose God's power and strength upon those that we minister to. I was going to give you some scripture on how strong the Word is. You know how strong the Word is. And if I repeat the Word of God, don't you know God is in that Word if I believe it and I minister to it? So if I minister this Word back to a demon, don't you know that if demons are subject to the name of Jesus that they have to bow? Don't you know that you are a learner? You are a minister of God because you are a learner of Jesus. And that scripture I just finished reading applies to you, that you too shall cast out devils. We've got to learn to fight people. These last days are not going to be easy at all. Tommy gave us a taste of it last night, and we're going to have to stand. And if you are going to stand, you're going to have to learn how to fight the enemy. This is most, most important. Did you know Peter had a demon? Did you know that? Look at Matthew 16. No, that's not the one. Yeah, 22. I'm wrong verse. 22. Let's read in 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show his disciples that they must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, to be killed and be raised again the third day. And Peter began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. And he turned and said unto Peter, who did he say to? To Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Oh, he took and said to Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. For thou art an offense unto me, and thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Let's see, when Peter told him, Pity yourself, Lord. Well, you know, we're not to have any part of pity. We don't operate in the word hope as the English word today. The hope that we operate in is the hope of the Bible, of the Word of God. It's a different word altogether. Because that hope is real. It's already promised. The word we use today is that we desire and hope for. But the one in the Bible is that it's already there. Jesus has already supplied it. Did you know that Paul had a demon? Did you know that? You didn't? Yeah, I got a yes. 2 Corinthians 12. I'll finish with this. We need some deliverance. I'll quit on this one. 2 Corinthians 12. In verse 7, I'll just read the one scripture. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that were given to me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. You look that word up, messenger. What is it, Tommy? Angel. Angelos. In the Greek, it's angelos. An angel of Satan. He's an angel of Satan. Well, Paul had him. And if Paul had him, don't you know how bad we need to be rid of them? Father, you know our hearts. You know that we need Jesus more than anything in the world. Our desire is to serve Him. Our desire is to have Jesus real within us. Do a work in us now, Father. Cleanse us. Make us whole. Drive out those things that stand between us, Lord, that we may be the children of the Most High God, that we may be set free. For Jesus truly came to set the captives free. And our desire is that we be set free this day. So we praise you now and give you glory for what you shall yet do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I'm going to call some demons out. I want you to sit with both feet on the floor. You don't cross your legs in deliverance. You don't clench your hands. You don't cross your hands. That is a, well, we'll not go into it. You don't need to cross your hands, your fingers, or anything else, your feet. Best place is put your hands on your knees. That will take care of them if you do that. It is a sign of rebellion. It's truly what it is if you do those things. Don't hold on. If something stirs up in you, don't worry about what your neighbor thinks. He's got more in him than you have in you. So don't worry about it. He's not interested in you. He's worrying about whether somebody's going to find out he's got a demon, and we all know it already anyhow. So don't worry about that. And you can stop it. You can stop all the deliverance. But if you feel that movement in down deep inside of you, let it go. Turn it loose. You say, come out of me. All that is not of the Lord, come out of me. I want no part of anything that is not of the Lord. And when I'm calling these names out, it doesn't mean the thing that I called is coming out right then. What I've called maybe five or six names before might just now be showing agitated enough to move. So if I call homosexuality and you open your mouth and yawned real big, it's not necessarily a homosexual spirit. I might have called sickness out before that, and that might be what it is. So don't try to decide what your neighbor's got. Just say, I'm going to get rid of everything that's in me that's not of the Lord. Amen? I'm going to go after some sickness. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I call that spirit, the spirit of high blood pressure, out in Jesus' name. All the spirits of high blood pressure, spirits of low blood pressure, in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I call all the blood diseases out. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuked those demons. Come out of them. Blood diseases, all types of blood diseases, come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Diabetes, in the name of the Lord Jesus, loose this people and come out. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Heart attack and stroke, loose them and let them go. You have no right in God's people. Loose them and let them go. The Lord rebuke you. Heart attack and stroke, in the name of Jesus. I call plaque out of the blood. All the plaque in the blood that stops up the arteries and the veins. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I call plaque out of the bloodstream. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Blocked arteries. That spirit that causes the blocked arteries. Come out of them. Loose them and let them go. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Tumors. All types of tumors. All the growths, any type of growth, in the name of the Lord Jesus, tumors and growths, loose them and let them go. Loose them and come out. Loose them and come out. Cancer in the blood, cancer in the pancreas, loose them and let them go. Cancer in the liver, cancer in the prostate, come out. The Lord rebuke you. Cancer in the lung, skin cancers. I call skin cancers off in the name of the Lord Jesus. Cancer in the kidney. Cancer in the kidney and cancer in the colon. Loose them and let them go. Loose them and let them go. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. I call arthritis off. Arthritis in the name of the Lord Jesus. Loose them. Loose them and come out. You're a liar. You have no place in God's people. The Lord rebuke you. Come on out of there. Arthritis. Spirit of arthritis. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I call the headaches, all of the headaches, the pressures in the head, in the name of the Lord Jesus, loose those people from headaches in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, come on out of there, headaches in the name of the Lord Jesus, migraine headaches, I call migraine headaches off in Jesus' name, in the name of the Lord Jesus, manifest yourself, demon, manifest and come out, migraine headaches, I call that spirit of fever, all the spirits of fever out, in the name of the Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus, come out, in Jesus' name, go through them again, high blood pressure and low blood pressure, come on out of there, move in Jesus' name, in the name of the Lord Jesus, all blood diseases, diabetes, come out in Jesus' name, heart attack and stroke, in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus, heart attack and stroke, plaque in the blood. In the name of the Lord Jesus, blocked arteries, all the blocked arteries, the spirit behind blocked arteries, come out. Tumors, all tumors, growths, spirit of growths, come out, count. Come out of them in Jesus' name. I curse cancer in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I curse that spirit of cancer. I command it to dry up, die, and never to bring fruit to the body in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, that spirit of cancer. Cancer in the blood. Cancer in the pancreas. Cancer of the prostate. Of the liver. Cancer of the lung, skin cancers, cancer in the kidney, cancer in the colon. Loose them and come out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Come out. Come out. Headaches, migraine headaches, arthritis. Arthritis, come out. Come out in Jesus' name. And fever, spirit of fever, high temperature. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. I've got a list here that Glenn did a teaching on and asked me to call the spirits out afterwards here some time back, and I've got that same list. So if it sounds a little different, don't worry about it, because Glenn did this teaching, and all this was in the Word of God that we wrote all this down on a teaching that he did. I call religious tradition out. Religious tradition in the name of the Lord Jesus. Loose them and let them go. I call pleading the blood. That term of pleading the blood. We don't plead blood. We place the blood. We apply the blood. There's any number of different ways we put the blood on. Covers. We cover the blood. So, but we do not plead the blood. That is begging God to do something, and we don't beg God to do anything. So that spirit that brings that forth, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I break his power and I command him to go. Curse of eating blood. I call that curse of eating blood off in the name of the Lord Jesus. God says it brings a curse to eat the blood of an animal or any type of blood in the name of Jesus. I break the curse of a bastard in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's a 10-generation curse. You don't know what your great-grandfather did, much less 10 generations back. And every time that act is repeated, when a child is born out of wedlock, that curse is repeated another 10 generations. So I feel that everybody is under that curse if it's never been broken. So I break the curse of the bastard over this congregation in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, I release you from that curse for your children. In the name of the Lord Jesus, for 10 generations now, in Jesus' name, from you forward 10 generations, in the name of Jesus. I break the curse of incest, the curse of incest that's been placed upon us. In the name of the Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I break the curse of abortion. Abortion, I call abortion off. Spirit of abortion. In the name of Jesus, I call that abortion spirit out. That's not just for those that's had abortion. It's those that have advised people to have abortion, those that have taken part in someone else's abortion. You're guilty. You're found guilty. And I call that spirit off of you in the name of the Lord Jesus, the spirit of abortion. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I call that spirit of having sex during a period, the woman's period, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. I call fornication off. Fornication. Adultery. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Oral sex and anal sex. Bestiality. Homosexuality. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Lesbianism. Light esteem of father and mother. Blinded to the Scripture. I call that demon that blinds us to the Scripture out. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Let him go. Let him go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All those curses of Deuteronomy 28 from verse 16 forward to the end of the chapter on the curses that God would bring forth to those who are disobedient. I break the power of those curses for those who are obedient to the Word of God. Come out of them. Come out of them in Jesus' name. I break the curse of unfulfilled vows, of making vows to God and not fulfilling them in the name of the Lord Jesus. For the lack of growth in God, I break that curse upon those that are operating for not growing in God, who've received the Word but never grow. I break the curse of those who do not tithe in the name of the Lord Jesus. There are those who do not tithe. It brings a curse. He says you are cursed with a curse because you have robbed God. So I break that curse for those who now tithe, who have, during their Christian walk, they did not tithe, in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Curse of disobedience. There's a curse of disobedience. I break that curse of disobedience. A curse of sickness. There is a curse of sickness in the Bible in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. And there's a curse that comes with tattooing the body. I break that curse in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. For those who've repented, I break that curse of tattooing in the name of the Lord Jesus. I break the curse of Jezebel. Jezebel, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Come out of him. Come out of him in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Jezebel. I break soul ties with every person here in the sound of my voice. I break a soul tie with your mother. I break a soul tie with your father. I break a soul tie with your children. An evil soul tie. I break the evil soul ties with your mother, father, and children in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord. You can't break a good soul tie. But there's evil soul ties that need to be broken. And I break those soul ties today. I call those soul ties out between mother and father and children in the name of the Lord Jesus. Are you bound to your children? Are you still tied to your children? They are grown and the apron strings are still on them. I break that tie in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I release you from that. I ask the Lord to restore your soul and to restore the soul of that child back to them and from you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Come out of them. Come out of them in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Soul ties. Soul ties. I break soul tie with things in the name of the Lord Jesus. Those desires, desire for things in life in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I break a soul tie with things in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Release them. Release them and let them go. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come out of them. Come out in Jesus' name. I call that desire for things of the world, especially things of the world, to come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, you have no right to God's people. Let them go. Let them go. Things of the world in Jesus' name. Let them go in Jesus' name. I call the spirit of witchcraft out in the name of the Lord Jesus. Witchcraft. Spirit of witchcraft. I call the witch. I call the witch out in the name of the Lord Jesus. I break the power of any witch in the sound of my voice. You will not operate in this camp. In the name of the Lord Jesus. And I call witchcraft out. In the name of the Lord Jesus. All of the witchcraft. Call pride out. Spirit of pride. God hates pride. God really hates pride. He starts the list off. Six things does God hate. Yea, seven are abomination to you. Pride is the first one. When we have pride, we have no need of God. God hates pride. I call pride out. Any type of pride, in the name of the Lord Jesus, loose them and let them go. Pride, you have no place in God's people. That ego, ego has to go in the name of the Lord Jesus. Self-reliance, you can't stay. You've got to go in the name of the Lord Jesus. We need Jesus. And I call the demons out of us that separate us from our God and from Jesus in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Call the spirit of religion out. Religion in the name of the Lord Jesus. I call that lying spirit. That lying spirit. Loose them and come out. Loose them and come out. Lying spirit. Exaggeration. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Just exaggeration. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. I call rebellion. Spirit of rebellion. Loose them and let them go. The Lord rebuke you. Unbelief. Spirit of unbelief. I break your power over this people in Jesus' name. I command you to loose them and come out in Jesus' name. Spirit of unbelief. I call hurts out, all types of hurts, deep hurts, hurts of the heart, those that the enemy has spoken hard against or done evil against and have brought hurt to you. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I release you from that hurt. In the name of the Lord Jesus, and I break that spirit of recall from you in the name of the Lord Jesus that reminds you, that brings back up repeatedly over and over again the hurts in your body and on you. In the name of Jesus, I call that spirit recall out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. That Antichrist spirit in the name of the Lord Jesus, that other Christ in Jesus' name, loose them and come out in Jesus' name. I call lust out. All the types of lust. Lust of flesh, lust of eye, and the pride of life, I call all three out. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I break your hold. In the name of Jesus, I loose the blood of Jesus to cover this people. And you will not operate in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I call anger, anger out, anger, wrath, anger. In the name of the Lord Jesus, come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All those sicknesses, I called you out, I named you, and the sickness and infirmity, you can't stay. I call you afresh and anew. Come out in Jesus' name. Spirits of whoredom, whoredom in the name of the Lord Jesus. Spiritual whoredom, I call spiritual whoredom out in Jesus' name. Serving other gods, I call out, we make many gods. And I, that spirit of spiritual whoredom, I call him out in the name of the Lord Jesus to release this people. Come out of them. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let them go. Curse on the blood. Curse of incest. Curse on bestiality and adultery. Of the bastard. The curse of Noah. That's the drinking. That's where your alcohol came from. Is that curse of Noah. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Curse of homosexuality. And a curse of nakedness. Come out. Loose them and let them go. There's a spirit of nakedness in our land today. There's no modesty left. In many places, the modesty has gone. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I loose that spirit of modesty back to God's people and to people everywhere in our communities, everywhere that's represented here today. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I loose modesty back to the people. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for what you're doing, what you've already done, what you shall yet do. Father, for every spirit that came out, I ask that you send angels to cleanse our sanctuary here, to take out every spirit, bind them in chains in the name of the Lord Jesus, and carry them even to the pit, and there bind them there, that they'll not come back to harass your people. In the name of Jesus, I bind backlash from the enemy and retaliation against God's people for having sat in deliverance in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, for every vacancy that was made in this people, I ask, Father, that you fill it with your Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus. We praise you and we thank you for deliverance and give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Of Jesus, hold the blood of Jesus, all the blood of Jesus that washes white as snow.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.